Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome to the Metron Live podcast, coming to you from beautiful, historic Midtown Atlanta. Metron people, give the podcast people a big welcome. Hello. Hello, podcastians, wherever you are. We're continuing in a flow of what we did last week. If you're listening to this on your podcast, we're actually going to do three episodes of In the Now with Jim Swilly. So what you will hear is a continuity. And out of what we talk about today with our guest, Zach Keough, we'll edit out content for the YouTube channel. Which, by the way, it's cool. We've got, I think we had about 9 new people subscribe to the YouTube channel last week, so that's cool. And it's getting some new interest. That's good. I even got people buying Year in the Now. So I got, like, old me and new me is speaking. So that's cool. But as I told you last week, it was definitely a synchronistic thing when I met Zach many years ago. Gosh, we're probably talking 20 years because it was when I was in the new building.
Yeah, it was about, I think, in the year 2002 on or about. So it's been about 17 years.
So in between him being deployed and living really all over the world, we've somehow been able to stay in contact during the the great exodus of 2010, when my landscape was changing and I didn't know who am I still friends with, who am I not, and I was I was pleased to find out that, you know, Zach knew me on the inside already, and so we had a lot in common. He's a Beatlemaniac as myself, which that picture of the other shot of Abbey Road that that was very cool.
Yeah, the footmarks.
It took me a minute to look at it. I thought, what is that? Oh, and I just realized
this month marks the 50th anniversary of the release of Abbey Road too. So that's why it's. Yeah.
Don't try to scoop me on the Beatles.
50.
I've actually stood there on the Abbey Road thing and reenacted it with my family. So
I envy you.
So there you have it. Well, when we do a meditation weekend in Liverpool, I'll let you know.
I'll be the first one there.
All things are possible. All right. But anyway, so I feel like once I started Metron, it kind of kicked up my relationship with Zach to another level because, you know, those relationships, I have the same relationship with Doc and Francis, like people who sort of came from where I was but are now where I am. It's relationships are very important because you don't forget your foundations. You know, you're thankful for all the things that you learned. You haven't abandoned it. You've built on it. And so even when Zach and his family lived in Hawaii, they was that 5 different time zones away? Something like that. But anyway, they still streamed, and he'd give me feedback. So it was great last year when he was able to come, and I said, anytime you're in this part of the country, let me know, and we'll do some more episodes. And last week just went famously, and we actually ended up doing 4 episodes, so today we'll do parts 5, 6, and 7. So without any further ado, we'll get officially started on the part of it that will be edited out as In the Now with Jim Swilly. We ready? Welcome to In the Now with Jim Swilly. We're so glad to have you with us here on the beautiful YouTube channel. And once again, we are very blessed that the planets lined up and Zach Keough was able to be back with us again, or Keough Zach is... He is online. So would you please welcome once again, Metron, our friend and brother, Zach. Glad that you're here. Now, last week, let me show you the title that we did last week, and I think it was such a successful flow, we're going to build on it. The title is Energy Coherence, Perceiving the Interconnection of the Physical and the Metaphysical. So we did 1, 2, 3, and 4. I've never done a fourth one, but we were just cooking with gas last week, and I thought, you know, let's keep going. So I was really glad that we were able to have that. So it worked out that Zach was able to be with us even again today, and as I mentioned earlier, he's about to be deployed. He'll be gone for a year, so you will see him for a while. So it makes it even more special and appropriate that he's here today. If you're just now tuning into this program, please go back and watch the first 4 episodes so that I don't have to repeat a lot of things, so you'll get caught up to where we are. And I'm just going to speak into existence that we pick up right where we were last week. We tap into that energy and we take it to the next level. I know you're in agreement with that. And do you want to say anything, or do you want to go ahead and put up the first slide and we'll just start talking about it?
So I'll go ahead and kind of preface this with a bit of a feedback of what we did cover, assuming that most of you, probably not all of you, got to see what we did talk about, the grounds that we covered last week. So it was based on the premise of the scripture that John wrote while he was on the island of Patmos in Revelations 10. I think the scriptures were 8 through 10. And essentially what that was him seeing a vision of an angel providing him or offering him a scroll to consume, and which John did. He conceded to the angel's wishes. He ate the scroll, and it appeased to his taste. But upon internalizing that information, because that's what the scroll was, it was old information with a codex, or we could say maybe even the law, upon internalizing that, once it hit his stomach, he didn't feel so well. It upset his stomach. And so the importance of that scripture is twofold, really. Number one, because even though it was expressed in an allegorical sense, the physical aspect of it is sometimes that we'll eat some things that are very familiar to us because we've eaten it most, if not all, of our lives. But yet when we are presented with new information, maybe it just doesn't taste so well, or maybe because it's just done so much damage to our internal organs over so much period of time that it begins to wreak even more havoc. The other part of that is, of course, when we receive new information, we have a tendency to look at the old information as something that is just really, really kind of disgusting. Like, how could I have subjected myself to that over such a long period of time, not with this new lens of seeing things from a different perspective? And that's because of the new information that we receive. So that was the premise of last week, and of course, we went in depth to talk about the metaphysical, how it affects the physical. And this week I'm going to do pretty much a lot of the same thing, but with new information. And I think that's pretty much it.
I love that verse of scripture, and I really had never looked at it that way. It resonated with me on several levels. And for me personally, it was a kingdom key. It's like I knew exactly what I believe John was saying there. You know, that there's some things that you're glad that they were in your life, but they don't nourish you anymore. And you're not being mean about it. It's just like, I don't eat that anymore. I don't think that way anymore. I'll notice even in my Facebook memory, something will come up that I wrote a couple of years ago. And I think, I don't even think like that now. Like that's not, I've changed that much in 2 years this isn't even, there's no point in even posting this again, because unless I was just being ironic to show how much I've changed. So it's good stuff. And it's Proverbs talks about a word in season. And I felt like that was a word in season. So, and we're going to continue with that today. So let's go ahead and put up whatever. We're back in.
Yes. So
where
yep,
are we?
Yep.
We're in First John chapter 2, yeah, if you're listening to the podcast.
Same guy, just a different time in which he is writing this letter here.
Yeah, John wrote, most people think he wrote the Gospel of John, the 3 epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. Go ahead.
Sure. So this is, last week Bishop tried to press me for some excerpts from my book, and I said, no, this is straight from the NIV. So this week I've taken a couple of excerpts from my book,
excellent,
my translation, and I'm going to share that with you. This is the first of two that I'll share with you here. I'm going to stand up and read.
Yeah.
So it starts as following. Again, this is 1 John out of chapter 2, verses 7 through 8. And again, the working title for this is John, Relativity Speaking.
I like it.
So it says, friends, this phenomenon is nothing new. In fact, even the ancients discovered the solution of synergy between mind and matter, how the mind materializes matter. Mm. This eternal wisdom, which predates time, that is why it resonates with our eternal being, and we perceive it as new information. Upon receiving this information, you sense immediately an internal seismic shift of epic proportions as a result of enlightenment and exposure to things you were once ignorant and oblivious.
Yeah, I love it.
So that pretty much, that in itself attests to what we were talking about, what I just explained in microcosm from last week's lesson, if you will. Is basically getting that new information, internalizing it, and then really just kind of disposing of that old information, because that old information has served its purpose. It's time for it to move on, right? And in comes the new. And our bodies, whether or not we realize it, operate in the same capacity. There's been information that our body has received by way of consuming certain foods, and it no longer serves its purpose. Maybe even to the extent that it's probably done more damage than good, because we've consumed it way beyond the point that we should have. And because we have been negligent in taking care of our bodies by feeding it the right foods, we're still feeding off that old information. And really it's based on a lot of assumptions, right? So this food, it doesn't hurt me, so you know what doesn't kill me, I guess, makes me stronger. I don't know. So we'll cover that in just a little bit.
And so much preaching that goes on in Christian churches, empty calories. Do you know what I mean? It's like it fills people up, but it doesn't feed them. I remember, you know, this. I love when you just get this little piece of information. But I remember one time when I was first starting to really watch what I eat. I was sitting next door in the restaurant, and I for some reason I overheard the people at the table next to me talking, and one of them said, well, it's important to feed your body, not feed your stomach. And that seems like a simple thing, but it's like that was, I really got that. I thought, you know, that's right. And it's easy to, if you're hungry or if you're emotionally not where you need to be, it's easy just to pop something in your mouth that you think's going to make you feel better. And it might take away the hunger pangs, but it's not nutritional. It doesn't feed you in the long run. And it's a paradigm shift in the spiritual and the physical to say, I need to feed myself that things, food, that's going to help me in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. Your body longs for nutrients that it needs to operate in an optimal capacity, if not just to continue its self-healing process. And the foods that we feed our body don't permit our body to do that. In fact, it's doing just the opposite. It's doing more destruction than it is allowing or enabling our body to heal itself.
That's why sometimes you can stand at the refrigerator and just graze, and you eat something, and you think, nah, that wasn't it. You know, like you keep thinking, am I hungry? No, I'm not hungry in that sense. My body needs something that I need to give it.
Can we go on to the next slide, please? So this is another excerpt, two of two, that I'll share with you all from my book. This is from the fourth chapter of 1 John, and this is verse 8, and it reads as follows. For generations, we lived under the guise of a doctrine that instructed its constituents to fear the God of our ancestors, as if to anticipate reprisal for not adhering to the codex developed from the annals of our ancestral history. But this fear produces a constant stress in our minds, a negative emotional contagion resulting in maladies in our bodies. Perceiving the universe in the light of love removes the lens of fear. Anyone that continues to live in fear of reprisal from the God of our ancestors has yet to tap into the source of eternal love.
I love it. That's good stuff. Yeah, Zach, you got a gift for interpretation. That's awesome.
Thank you. So I don't know if this needs much explanation, but kind of ties in with what we were just saying. Is that there is primarily the key takeaway for this, for all intents and purposes this morning, is so that you understand there is a connection between the mind and the body. And when we're really referring to the body, I'm going to focus more on our intestinal tract and how that affects how we think, how we feel, and how receptive we are to the universe. Can we go?
That's awesome.
Can we go to the next slide, please? So this is another comment. Last week I introduced a comment from a gentleman known as Dr. Alberto Villoldo. So a book that he published, it was published earlier this year, is called Grow a New Body. It was published in January or February of this year. He says, you need abundant serotonin to meditate, to make love, and to forgive yourself and others. Attending to the health of your gut brain, where your serotonin is manufactured, will help you attain this. And he says, later on, he says, you need serotonin to stay in love. So serotonin is that feel-good hormone. It's also a neurotransmitter, right? It's that neurotransmitter that helps the stomach talk to the brain by way of the what we referred to, covered it last week, the vagus nerve, that nerve that covers the brain, the stomach, and it goes all the way down to the rectal area. And that is that information highway in which information is communicated. So a lot of the information that's ingested and eventually digested into the stomach signals up to the brain, and it begins to talk. And that's why when you just mentioned, when the stomach says, hey, I'm hungry, it sends that signal to the brain. The first thing, because we're operating under, most of the time, a subconscious reality, right? We don't think about it much, right? We're not in that state of awareness or consciousness. So the subconscious is really in automatic mode, more or less, right? So that's why the first things that come to mind are things of convenience, right? Well, there's a McDonald's, or there's a this, or there's a that. And if you like McDonald's, by all means, continue on with it. I'm not here to tell you that you can't or whatever. All I'm saying is that those foods are very highly processed, and they have an impact, a pervasive effect on our bodies.
And sometimes you just have to. It's just a matter of convenience. You're somewhere and there's no other alternative. You're just going to have to do it and not condemn yourself over it. But it's the lifestyle part of it that becomes really life-threatening.
But the connection that I wanted to make is, it's not just a matter of just staying healthy for the sake of staying healthy, but so that we can, and again, to his comment, so that we're highly receptive to the energetic fields, right, the universe, so that we can attain a state of oneness, right, so we can retain ourselves in a state of love and everything that love stands for. That really is the ultimate goal in all of this, but we cannot do that if we don't take care of our bodies. We have to take care of our bodies. So meditation is great, and I'm a huge advocate for meditation. I think it's great, but it's not the panacea. In fact, according to Dr. Villoldo, if I can meditate all I want to, but if I'm feeding my body junk, I'm not going to be highly receptive. Why? Because a lot of these toxins or free radicals that permeate into our bloodstream ignites our body to go into some kind of autoimmune process, which is not good. So we feel bloated, or we feel foggy, or we feel whatever. And some of these have even long-term issues, right? So we're talking Alzheimer's, dementia, that kind of stuff. Now scientists are beginning to realize the stomach has more involvement in those things, or potentially has more involvement in those things than we've given it credit for in times past. So a lot of this research has taken place within the last 20 or 30 years. So why isn't it breaking news? Well, first of all, because there is a lot of information that still needs to be obtained, right? So they have to do studies, and studies take time. But I can assure you this, for doctors to go out and say, hey, we were all wrong about this, it wasn't the drugs weren't the quick fix, it was basically your diet. Listen, there's a lot of money in big pharma. Right. So imagine what that does to the pharma industry and our economy, right? I mean, you think it's a big issue to say, well, you know, I don't understand why major auto manufacturers just don't make all electric vehicles. Right. It's because that has it has a huge effect. If we decide, hey, today we're going to stop making combustion engine vehicles and start producing electric vehicles, that has an effect on our economy.
Money answereth all things.
Absolutely. So, I think that. Yeah, so serotonin, and again, I won't cover this in depth because you'll just have to catch it last week if you didn't. Serotonin is that hormone and also a neurotransmitter that enables us to feel good about ourselves and also just feel good internally and physically, right? And then, of course, making sure that we're in a state of, or helps us, enables us to maintain a state of awareness, right?
Beautiful. Okay. All right. We're going to put a comma right there. This is some good stuff. Thank you for being with us today on In the Now with Jim Swilley. We'll see you next time. Peace. Good. I love it. I forgot to look back. I was getting so into what he was saying. I was like, oh, we're doing a program. I forgot. Well. That's funny. That's good stuff. We got more slides, so we're going back. All right. You're on fire, dude. Podcast people, bear with us. I'm about to crunch ice. Are we ready? Welcome to In the Now with Jim Swilley. We're in a series right now talking about energy coherence with our friends at Keo. This will be part six. If you're watching this without having watched the previous ones, please now go back to parts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So that you'll have a sense of context what we're talking about. Those of you who are here at Metron, once again, please welcome our friend Zach. Welcome back. Welcome back, Zach. Do it again. Do we need to explanation of last week, or do you just want to pick up where
we're going? No, we'll go ahead and move on. I think we've covered pretty much the wave tops.
All right.
From last week, so we'll go ahead and move on. Next slide. I think we're in next slide. So I didn't cover this slide real quick. So we will recap a little bit. So last week we talked about our three big gut busters, really, which is gluten, which produces a protein that's called zonulin. The body produces this protein that's called zonulin that wreaks all kind of havoc, not within our intestinal tract, but outside the intestinal tract. It's when it gets outside that stomach lining and into our bloodstreams that it begins to wreak a great deal of havoc. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, PPIs, and this thing down here said, what about selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors? Well, SSIRs are designed to increase your serotonin levels within your brain. The problem is that for people that struggle with depression specifically, may not struggle with the lack of serotonin in their brain. It might be as a result of lack of serotonin within their intestinal tract. So when they go see their doctors and they offer them drugs and it's like, well, you know, your serotonin levels are right where they should be, maybe as a result of taking the SSRIs, but they haven't looked at the serotonin levels within the stomach.
Man, that's so important. If you're on an antidepressant, work out your own salvation. I'm just telling you, I talk to so many people that just keep taking more and more, and it's not, they're spiraling downward. It's like it's not helping. So there has to be another source, and it's what's coming from here.
Absolutely. And every drug, I don't care what it is, every drug that you take has a second and third order effect. It does.
Explain that. What do you mean?
So for every drug, and normally, typically, when you take a drug, there's usually a side effect that comes with it, maybe side effects that come with it. And for those side effects, you need another drug to treat that symptom. And then so forth and so on. And before you know it, you've got a whole cabinet full of drugs. And if you're looking and think, oh, my God, how did I get to this point? Is because the first thing the doctors want to prescribe you is something to address the symptoms, not the problem, but the symptoms. Thank God for our doctors. I love them. But you have to be smart enough to know what it is at your very core, at your atomic level, what it is that's affecting your body in the way that it's affecting it, right? You have to do your research. If you're depending on doc to give you the answers, he's probably not going to give you the answers. He's going to give you something that's going to treat the symptom, right? So one of the, I can't remember who it was. One of the people here that one of you all came up and asked me, we were talking, and I said, you know, it's strange that when we go to doctors, right, typically the first thing they want to ask us is, what kind of drugs are you taking?
But if I go, what are you eating?
Not what are you eating, right? But if I go to a veterinarian and my dog's sick or whatever, and the first thing I ask you, well, what's he been eating?
Very interesting. Yeah.
No. They won't mention it. Again, because a lot of that is because it's very new, right? So the research is relatively new. Granted, within primarily, again, zonulin was only discovered 20 years ago. And I'm going to go over some more things that we'll cover here in just a little bit that wasn't even discovered until about 1993, early 90s. So when doctors find these new discoveries, it's not that though they can go out and say, hey, we found the problem. No, we've got to do more research. Because in order to present this, to make a valid point, we have to have the research, the substantiated evidence to back it up. We just can't say, hey, this is here, this is what we think. But I'm here to tell you today that a lot of this, and this is my perspective when it comes to health. My food is my medicine.
Yeah.
If I don't see my food as my medicine, I'm liable to just go out and eat just almost anything, or at least not change my diet.
And it's amazing when you really study it. There's something for everything. There's natural sedatives, natural laxatives, natural what? It's all. I mean, you have to investigate because it's not right in your face, but it's all there. Like the Mother Earth is programmed. All everything that you need is already there. And I will also say this. Even in this world of processed food and chemicals and all the stuff, it's easy just to say, look, there's no way to win. Everything's already so contaminated. I don't believe that. You know, I think about the analogy of when the Israelites were still in Egypt and they lived in the land of Goshen, even though all of Egypt was under the curse, they weren't. Like they lived separate from the curse. That's why Moses wrote the 91st Psalm when he said, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. It will not come near you. So don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just because everybody else is, poisoning themselves doesn't mean you have to. And again, some things you're just going to have to pray over because food is processed. It is, you know, unless you just have your own garden that you're, eating out of. I mean, you don't know where everything's coming from, but don't just surrender to the system. You can live free of the curse.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really is it's all about making better choices for your body. We'll go ahead and move on to the next slide. I think we've covered everything we need to there. This is something that I captured off the internet and I thought it was worth sharing. So always trust your gut. If you feel something is wrong, it's probably because there is.
Yeah. Right?
And that's not just with your physical body.
Right.
That may be something that's going on mentally or maybe even spiritually.
That's
right?
Why I think this teaching is important because I'm a big believer in, trust your, we call it gut instinct or intuition. But if your physical gut is not functioning like it's supposed to, you can get wrong signals. You know, like low blood sugar can make you feel a certain way, you know, that it's not emotional, it's physical, it's physiological. Sometimes you think you're depressed, you're just hungry. You know, it's like you need to know what's really going on with you.
Absolutely. Now we'll go ahead and move on to the next slide. Okay, this is from Dr. Violdo again. He says, basically, plants provide vital intelligence to the body beyond ensuring a balanced diet. Wait a second. You mean to tell me plants provide vital intelligence? Absolutely. Plants, when ingested and digested, have a certain amount of epigenetic information that they communicate to the cells, right? In this case, and I'll use for an example, we'll talk about it here in a couple of slides later, it sends signals to the cells. It activates what's referred to as, it's a protein inside the cells called, we'll refer to it as NRF2, right? And that NRF2 protein, when it's activated, it goes outside the cell and it begins turning cells on and turning some cells off. In other words, it does what it's supposed to do without you thinking about it. So your body is comprised of 500 disease-preventing genes and up to 200 disease terminating genes, right? So
wow.
These plants convey the information that they have. And again, NRF2, and again, we'll cover this here in more depth in just a little bit. But it's a single strand of plant genetic material that when your body's ingested, it takes the information out of there, that epigenetic genetic information, and it begins to synthesize it, begins to process it, and it sends signals to the cells. That's amazing.
Sure.
It does. I mean, just the amount information from plants. Think about this. In more ways than one, now we're talking about digesting plants, right? What about the effects that plants have on us when it comes to other faculties of the body, right? David said, when I lie down in green pastures, or when I lay down
the trees of the field clap their hands.
Exactly.
Jesus saying, consider the lilies.
When I take a nature walk, that is so soothing. I'm telling you, there's so much more to, I'm going to say the wilderness, because a wilderness might mean something different for some people, like a desert, and there's no leaves in desert. But there's so much more to our green leaf-based diet, if you will, than we would give it credit for. A lot of people, they sway away from it because it doesn't have protein. Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes you can get you can get too much protein in the body. I don't know if you know that or not. But you can get too much protein, and it has an adverse effect on the body. And I know especially this is...
But there are plants, there are edible plants that are high in protein as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, can we go to the next slide? I think it kind of buttressed my point here. I don't make sure I want to get too far ahead of myself. Okay, now we can go back to the slide. I want to cover this one in just a minute. But again, there's a lot of information that plants, when digested by the body, conveys that information, and it begins to prompt certain proteins, in this case the NRF2 protein, out of the cell to go and fight free radicals of sort, right? Toxins, wastes of sorts in the body, and begins to not eliminate those, eliminate in some degree, but also flushing those free radicals and toxins out of the body, right? Last week we talked about a yeast that somehow finds its way into the gut lining, and it sits there. It's called Candida albicans, right? And that Candida, when it sits there, and again, it has a pervasive effect on throughout the body, it prevents your body from creating serotonin. And when your body doesn't create enough serotonin, you're not going to have that, I feel good about myself. You don't even wake up some days and be like, oh, today, man, I feel super good. You ever wonder why you feel super good? Think about the last 24 hours. What did I eat? But instead, we kind of go over it like, oh, today I feel good for some unknown reason. I don't know why, but I'm going with it. Think about what you ate the last 24 hours. And I promise you, you may see a difference. I promise you. But if I go forth and I just continue on eating, following the certain eating habits that I have been for so long, the mornings I wake up and I feel, oh, man. When it becomes so notable that when you wake up and you feel good about yourself, every morning you should wake up and feel good about yourself. I want that for all of you. I want it for myself. But I have to take into account what I'm eating that's allowing me to feel that way, right? And there are certain foods that will communicate to my body that allow me to feel that way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Okay. Let's put a comma right here before we start the next slide. But that's a very important point about the intelligence that's in plants and how it communicates even the cells of your body. You remember back in the 60s when it became fashionable for people to start talking to their plants? Some people would make fun of that, but it actually, studies have been done where plants actually have emotional responses. Like plants that have been abused respond, not the same way that animals do, but there is evidence that everything really is living. And when David would tap into that, he hadn't dropped acid. He was actually hearing plants speak to him. And it's really interesting. I noticed Dr. Sheila was in here earlier, but sometimes she'll even, because some of the minerals and that sort of thing, what do you call them, Doc? The things that you have, the homeopathic medicines, before she'll give it to you, she'll actually hold it up to your body to see if your body is going to respond to it. And sometimes you'll say, nah, your body's saying no. It's like there's so much communication going on. I'm not traditional about saying grace over food, but there is something about even speaking over your food and blessing it. And even, like, I don't eat that much meat, but when I do I even will thank the animal. It's like, I know that sounds kind of out there, but I'm like, well, I'm going to bless this because this, you know, this is a part of the food chain, circle of life, and I am flexitarian. I'm not completely vegan or vegetarian, but what I love about what you're talking about here is the more spiritual you become, the more connected you are to the physical world, and vice versa. The more connected you are to the physical world, the more it advances you spiritually, because everything is everything. Everything is connected. So that's some good stuff. Let's put a comma right there. Once again, thank Zach for being with us today. Thanks for watching. We will see you next time on In the Now with Jim Swilly. Peace. Dude, what? How do you know so much stuff? He's going to be.
I probably should have thrown that disclaimer out there. No, I'm not a doctor.
Play with. He sounds like one, doesn't he? Yeah.
But I did stay at a Holiday Inn last. Seriously, I did.
I love knowledge, and I know the areas that I know stuff about, but I appreciate, even like yesterday, something Ken wanted to pick up for me in an auto parts store. He wanted to put it in my car, and I wouldn't have even known to look at that. I said, how do you know all this stuff? Like, that's so amazing. That I'm amazed when people know stuff that I don't know anything about, and I really honor it. I honor, part of my whole namaste thing is I honor your knowledge. Like, and that's, you're I love it. I love it because it's not just academic. I mean, you're connecting the dots to the spiritual, and I think that's very important.
There's a book by Dr. David Hawkins, Power versus Force, where he got a doctorate degree in kinesiology. He talks about how your body, your muscles responds. For instance, he said you can take a banana, natural banana, and hold it up to you, and it strengthens your system.
Wow.
And you can take a pack of Sweet and Low and put it in your pocket, and your system go weeks.
Wow.
Because it's muscle tones. Yeah. It's true.
Well, you think about how connected we are. I've talked about this before, just about how if you hold hands with somebody for just a couple of minutes, your heartbeat will sync up with them. Women who work in the same office together, their monthly cycle syncs up. Like, how is that possible? Or you'll see somebody yawn. You might not even be tired. You see them, and before you know, or you hear somebody laughing, and you start laughing or crying. We're so much more connected than we realize. So the idea that you could hold something up to your body, or what Doc does before she just prescribes it to you, is to see, is your body rejecting this, or is it accepting it, or whatever. That's why connecting the dots to the spiritual. That's what I love about the concept of a rhema word, because the spirit world isn't mechanical. And sometimes you need something maybe that another person doesn't need. Someone else has a deficiency in an area. That's why you need to find out not just what's right, but what's right for you. And that's true for your belief system. That's true for how you eat or whatever. There's some things that are just true across the board. There's other things that you need to find out. There's even things about your blood type. There's all sorts of things that have to do with how your body responds to food and how you should eat and why you should eat colors. And, you know, there's certain things that are in the colors of food that you need. You know, beta carotene is orange and chlorophyll is green. There's all these kind of things that we've talked about before, but this is really good stuff. Well, even another thing, if you didn't hear what Francis said, she's talking about when we do meditation, we always join hands and make sure we sync up. But even back in the day, this isn't even my reality now, but I remember there was a time if anybody had an issue with me or they were going to leave the church or whatever, they'd want to take me to lunch. And I got to where I would want to say, oh, really, do we have to do lunch? Because I didn't like, so you're telling me negative stuff, and I'm having to eat in this. I'd rather you just tell me what it is. Don't make me eat it, because there's something sacred about, you know, eating and not just eating it, but having good conversation, having a positive feeling about it. I mean, you think, well, does that affect me? Yes, everything's, you know, cells have memory, and horrible things that you said to somebody during a meal while you're eating it, you're also eating the horrible emotions of what you were saying during that time. And if you don't eliminate it, so, you know, years later, it comes back as a cancer cell or whatever. So it's really important, you know, to be at peace and to not be in strife all the time.
But conversely, too, when you eat something that's healthy for your body and you know it's healthy for your body, you can envision what it's doing for your body, right? Yeah. And so that's a continual cycle. So that, again, the brain is sending signals down to the stomach into your intestinal tract, and it's doing what you would envision it probably doing.
Right. I love it. All right. So what was this part? Part seven? Wow. The seventh one. You're about to hear the greatest in the now, Jim Swilley, that has ever been recorded. Are we ready? Podcast people, stay with us. Don't leave me. I'm sleep deprived. Welcome to In the Now with Jim Swilley. We're in a series with our friend Zach, and it's called Energy Coherence. This will be part seven. If you have not seen the previous ones, take some time. You know, this is the age of binge watching. People binge watch Netflix and they get caught up on everything. If you did it with Game of Thrones, now do it with In the Now with Jim Swilley, and take some time off. Get a healthy snack. You don't need to be eating garbage listening to this stuff. You'll have a disconnect. So eat something
healthy. Not dysentery. I don't know.
Zach, I do all the comedy. Stick to what you know. This would be a good time to watch all of this in its entirety. So once again, welcome our friend Zach Keogh. Zach, we welcome you. I'm assuming the audience is caught up with the previous episode. So let's get started with the next slide. What was it you were about to show us?
So this is this slide here is it's a two slides. So this is first of two. This is a testimony from a gal here who posted this just two, 3 days ago. And it was a question that, again, so I'm not a doctor. The question was asked. No, I'm not a doctor. However, I am a student of a university that teaches. I'm pursuing a bachelor's degree in holistic medicine, which is a combination, a hybrid of ancient Eastern and Western medicine, which is also known as Ayurvedic medicine. So within my studies, I kind of venture outside of the purview, if you will, and I try to make the connection.
Your family is in chiropractic. You have some background in medicine.
Absolutely. Right? So I have, two generations preceding me that are chiropractic. So my grandfather and my father and both specialize in holistic health. And I also have a cousin on that side of the family also as well that's a chiropractor. So, but anyway, here's a testimony here of a gal within my class who wanted to share her testimony. It really didn't, in a sense, it was directed toward the question that was asked her. But she went on to kind of share her experiences in this, and it really touches on what we're talking about. Let's start with the second sentence. For me, this is a very personal question. Approximately 4 years ago now, I was diagnosed with severe B-cell rheumatoid arthritis. I was crippled in a wheelchair or walker for 6 months. Nothing was truly working. Prednisone, pain medications, immunotherapy, chemotherapy, Rituxan and methotrexate helped me to walk again, but didn't relieve the pain, and I hated the side effects that came with it. Again, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, treating the symptoms, but not treating the core issue. A friend of mine told me to use the frankincense oil on the roof of my mouth, which helped me with some of the inflammation. My stepdaughter is a nutrition major, and since I was a nurse interested in nutrition, she bought me the book, if you would, next slide, please, Prescription for Nutritional Healing by a person known as P. Balk. Way before I had signed up for this course, I also had been, I was seen at a gastroenterology nurse for many years, so had read a lot about the leaky gut, which we talked about a lot last week. I started to watch my processed foods, decrease sugar and gluten, eat organic as much as possible, and all the flares started to go away. Proper amino acids, vitamins, and especially minerals are necessary to build a strong body. Also to remove the toxins, that's key. By February of 2018, I was flare-free. With the approval of my primary physician in July, a few months later, I went off all the medications. To date, I've had no flares. My rheumatologist is not pleased and tells me I'm going to be crippled and come crawling back to him, but I feel great. I use this as an example when teaching others all the time. The only major supplement I take along with clean eating is Sulfurzyme, which is a MSM product, organic sulfur. That right there pretty much sums up
interesting
what we're talking about. And we can go on to the next slide, too. Okay, so what I didn't leave you all with last week was what are some of the solutions, right? So I said, okay, here's a lot of the things that can happen if you eat this kind of processed foods and sorts, right? So, but I told you I wanted to leave you with some solutions to help you get to a point where you can get to the point where your body starts to feel healthy, you think yourself healthy, and you will be healthy. And in the process of being in a healthy state, now you have been made whole, right? So the first of which is quercetin. It's a compound that can be found in apples, green tea, kale, onion, really any kind of dark leafy greens. Spinach is also a good one. And then, of course, L-glutamine, which is an amino acid, restores the integrity of the stomach lining the cells. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but the stomach itself is only one cell in its composition, right? So it's very thin. The lining of it is very thin. However, the interior of the stomach is lined with about 10 to 12 layers of good and bad bacteria, hopefully most of which is comprised of good bacteria, right? Let's see. Okay, deficiency in L-glutamine could result in deterioration of intestinal tissue. Nearly a third of L-glutamine is used in the intestinal tract. Potential cause for intestinal permeability, which we talked about last week, known as leaky gut. Foods rich in L-glutamine are spinach, dark leafy greens, fish, beets, and peas. There's a lot more. This is not all-inclusive list, by the way. So that's why I implore you, I give you enough information to kind of pique your interest and you do kind of do the study on your own.
And I'm sure you all know this, but whatever is good in a vegetable, the darker the vegetable, the better. Like kale is darkest green, spinach is dark green, much healthier for you than just lettuce. Or even cabbage, for that matter. Like dark beans, black beans, kidney beans, like they're better for you than the light color beans. So
those type of foods are rich in what the scientists are now referring to as microRNA. And again, it's that compound that speaks or transmits the information, the epigenetic instructions to the body to say, hey, I need for you to start doing this and thwarting off all of these free radicals and toxins within the body. So microRNA and then your phytonutrients. A lot of these foods are good and rich in phytonutrients. The problem with the food that we eat today is that these foods that we eat today, consume today, are not as rich in phytonutrients as the foods we ate, let's say, about 60, 70 years ago, because they're processed, right? So if you go to the store today and you buy some produce off the shelf, right, and you see that little sticker there with a four-digit number, anybody know what that represents? Usually what you'll pick up is a sticker that starts with the letter 4. That means that particular piece of produce has been processed. If it starts with a number 9, it means it is organic. Seriously, you can research that. So kind of puts a different spin on, okay, well, what am I feeding my body here, right? You guys.
Well, I was going to say, even it's synchronistic, because as you're saying this, I'm getting text from Christina saying, "Could you please pick up organic apples?" When I was just interested. As you were saying that, I'm not looking at the time. I'm reading text.
Yeah.
But I was even going to say, I didn't know that about processed food. But even like I love Chinese food, Japanese food, which are very rice friendly. But even when you eat white rice, all of the germ is taken out of it. So at least, and you can request most places, even there's even black rice, and it's good. It's very, it's to me, it tastes better. But wild rice, brown rice, whatever, even if I order Chinese food, which probably is somewhat processed, but at least you do what you can. And I ask for brown rice instead of white rice. So every little bit helps. The darker your food is, the better it is for you.
Absolutely. So I would just, again, foods that start with that sticker, that four-digit number, start with the letter four, are infused with or have been treated with pesticides or some other kind of chemical process. And again, as I explained last week, it's done with good intent, right? Well, the intent was to produce more food. And, oh, by the way, if you look at the size of the foods, right, for something that's been processed versus something that's organic, look at the difference in the size. The difference in the size is enormous, almost up to 50% bigger in size what you get for something that's been processed versus something that's been, you know, something that's organic. So those are some things to think about. But I want to drive this conversation so that we can also deal with the other side of this, which is perceiving the imperceptible. Remember last week we talked about that. And again, it goes back to Dr. Viola's statement, is love is obviously that the vehicle that allows us to tap into that other realm, right, which is our spirituality. You may say, okay, well, if I'm eating healthy for my body's sake, that's great. Now you're telling me I need to do it for my spirit's sake. Listen, there's a lot of us that are still kind of mentally distracted, right? Some of us, probably all of us, are looking for some closure in our lives somewhere. And because we haven't gotten that closure, it's still creating, in the back of our mind, still creating a lot of stress. And last week, remember, we talked about, we said energy doesn't die, right? So when loved ones go on, they're still just, we feel like maybe sometimes they're just, we haven't got the closure that we want to with those people, those loved ones that have gone on. So I think, and this is last week, I wanted to share this, and I'm going to share this morning. When we're referring to Jesus post-crucifixion and to the resurrection piece, when he appeared the first time to his disciples, remember, this was so fresh. Because it had occurred just 3 days earlier, right? I mean, it was such an emotional event that when they had all congregated, Jesus appeared before him, or before them when they all had congregated. And so because the emotion was still high, because it was still fresh in their memory, I think what, because of that, their collectiveness together, I attribute this to their state of oneness with each other, is what brought Jesus back within their presence. Now, whether or not you want to make the argument that Jesus actually returned back in the flesh or not, that's totally up to you. I think he did, and I think that's how strong that force among those people were. I don't think he would have presented himself into any one individual separately at that point. Maybe he would have. I don't know. The Bible doesn't communicate such instances.
However, with the day of Pentecost, the fact that it took 10 days for them to all become one mind and one accord, and then there's the manifestation of Spirit.
Absolutely. Mind you, there were multiple, in the book of John, there were multiple instances thereafter in which he appeared to his disciples. And for every subsequent event, his presence became more latent. In other words, by the time we get to the final instance in the book of John, they couldn't even recognize the guy they were walking with for about 7 miles because, again, they were so removed in time that their emotional attachment to it wasn't as strong as it was 3 days after he had passed or after he had died, right? So now fast forward several weeks later, maybe even a few months later, and they recognized him, but it wasn't immediately. It wasn't even after they broke company, immediately after they broke company with the guy, that they realized it. They had gone on and done something else later in the day among conferring. It wasn't until they started conferring with one another that they realized, again, they were drawing that energy from one another, and they realized, oh, man, that was him. But I don't think it was in the physical sense. I think they just recognized the spiritual sense. Remember last week we talked about when somebody goes and passes on to the next realm or they shed themselves of this physical body, the energy doesn't die. In fact, it's subsumed by another person.
Agreed.
Right? So in this instance, they didn't even recognize it immediately. But after they had broke, they conferred with one another, the energy was there, and they said, oh my gosh, it is at this point now that I think we recognize who that was. Right? And I'm here to tell you today, and again, I think they were looking for closures. I couldn't imagine what some of the disciples were thinking. Well, if you would have just done this, then maybe right. This wouldn't have happened or, you know, whatever the case may be. But I think all of us, I know for sure, all of us look for closure somewhere along the line. And I think it's because of those who have gone on and passed and went on without us, if you will. I think because, again, it goes back to being healthy. If I'm healthy here, I have a greater sense of receptivity here. In my heart, right? And I can tap into that other dimension. and I can begin to communicate. If you remember last week, we talked about, again, here I go with my Beatles song, Julia. John Lennon, who wrote the song about his mother, Julia, right? And he says, half the words that I say are meaningless, but I say them just to reach you, Julia. Sometimes it's by the words that we communicate that we can begin to connect with people who have gone on, right? But sometimes that connection appears latent because we're not as receptive. Why? Because maybe it has something to do with our diet, our internal organs.
Well, the same thing's true when you're talking about Jesus. That's a great observation. But even the whole fasting piece, it's the whole thing about fasting was not to get God to act. It was to make the person more sensitive to the spirit realm. Whatever God is, God, you know, God is God. It's we're the ones that change things here on the earth, you know, and our perception of things, you know, what you see is what, you know, he says to Joshua, what do you see? If Joshua doesn't see that he can take the city, he doesn't take the city. So it's not a matter of me praying, trying to get a deity somewhere to move in my behalf. It's me removing the blockages to perception so that I can see what is already here. It's like Elisha saying that those that are with us are more than them. Well, that was already a reality. And diet, there's even an Elizabethan word called surfeiting. And it means like, you know, eating so much to where you're like your senses are dull. And that's when you become you spiritually self-sabotage. Anyway, this is amazing stuff. Do you have anything else we were going to show, or are we?
Just to add one more thing to this. So if we're not feeling the way that we should because of the foods we're eating and the state of the body, right? If you ever come into conversation with somebody, and you come to them, or you talk to them, call them on the phone and say, "Hey, let's go out, let's have a day together," whatever the case, let's just have you and I time. Oh, I can't. I wish I could. I'm just not feeling well. You've missed an opportunity, right? Because it's in those opportunities that you can converse with somebody else and have that connection. You were talking about energies being matched or coming overlapping with them. We have a morphogenetic field or electromagnetic field that extends beyond 5 feet from us, and we don't even realize it. That's why when we come in close contact or within proximity of people, we have this shared energy about it. It's like, oh man, I love the energy in this room. It's because we're sharing that energy.
By the same token, we need to wrap up, but by the same token, I have noticed that the more in tune I become, the more sensitive I am. Not in a "it's easy for you to hurt my feelings" kind of way. It's just that I'm so sensitive to energy that somebody who's super negative, I got to really watch it because they can affect me more than they used to. Like there was a time I could just blow it off and say, "I don't care what you say." Now I feel people's words go into me. And so it makes you, it's like when you're in the physical, when your antibodies are low, whatever, you're very careful what you expose yourself to because you might not have enough. So you got to be careful about that because the more spiritually in tune you become, there's some people you just can't hang out with. You just can't talk to. You can't communicate with because it's happened to me 2 or 3 times in the last few months where I could feel when somebody said something to me, they didn't even realize it. I felt it manifest in I felt their words come in and literally make me sick. And I think, I've got to be careful how I, you know, and not everybody can understand that if you say, "I'm too sensitive to talk to you," that's going to make you sound like a jerk. I would not suggest you do that, but you have to learn where your boundaries are. And you're right. There is a person. There are people that can heal you. There are also people that can make you ill. So you've got to be careful, you know, how you do that. Anyway, go ahead. Make your closing arguments, if you would, please.
Yeah,
sir.
So again, I leave you with eat green, eat clean. And in doing so, you will stay receptive. You will stay attuned to an environment that is what we refer to as the non-local source or the non-local mind or the universe in which we refer to it. And that's really the state that we all want to be in. That is ultimately spirituality as we would define it, right? And that's where we want to be. And I would tell you, and again, in connecting with those that have gone on, they're stripped of their bodies. So everything that they were once regimented with, right, if they were just like, so, because we're generational in nature, right, we're sclerotic beings, so there's certain things that we like to cling to that our the younger generation says, no, I disagree with that. That's fine. But now when that's all stripped away and I have nothing but pure energy in front of me, those energies now begin to speak to me, right? Now I can tap into a source that is way beyond my level of intellect and knowledge. And that's really what we're trying to get at. Hope that makes sense.
Oh, totally. Zach, I can't thank you enough. This has been amazing. And we honor your gift. And thank you for your service to our country. And as you go for your deployment, as you go for your deployment, we speak a very successful year over you, and that everything's well with your family that remains here in the States. You're blessed when you come in and when you go out. And for this next chapter of your life, when you go, you have a lot to give. And so we honor your gift and we embrace it and believe that the best is yet to come. You're a blessing, a Renaissance man, a soldier, a doctor. It's just, and he's already taken, ladies, so what are you going to do? I know some of you are like, what's his number? He's taken. Can't have him. Look, but don't touch. I also speak a blessing over your food, over your eating habits. This stuff is not difficult. Even if this is new information for you, embrace it. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you have to pace yourself with new information. Like, all right, there's so much I can handle at a time, but you can handle this. You can change your lifestyle. You can change your energy. You can. I love the title of that book, You Can Grow a New Body. I just love the concept of that. The idea that, well, your cells are renewing constantly, so why not? You know, why not? Let's explore that, take it as far as we can. So I'm sure there'll be a lot to go back in these all of these episodes, all seven of them, and glean a lot from it. And I just say that whatever you've imparted to us comes back to you a hundredfold. Again, tell Zach how much we appreciate him. Good man. We'll see you next time on In the Now with Jim Swilley. Peace. Dude, that's some good stuff now. Good, good, good. You sure you don't want to come back for part 47? Let's all stand. I got to go. I got to go see my new grandbaby. Did you get anything out of this? Today was good, wasn't it? I wanted you to have a third thing that you said, eat green, eat clean, and don't be mean. I was like, well, I was wanting a third one. I need a third. Are there any freestyle rappers in here that can come up with a third thing? Eat green, eat clean, and stay on the scene. Yeah. Go ahead and play this for the YouTube audience, please.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. You can give anytime using any smartphone. Text the amount you'd like to donate to 404-620-5044. You will then receive a notification that you successfully completed your donation. You may also visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab to give there as well. When you contribute to Metron, you're also donating to the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment into Metron.
If you're making a check, make it to JESM and someone will be back there to receive it. If you have cash, just pay it forward if you want to bless Zach. As I said, he came as a gift to us. I insisted that we at least cover his expenses, which I will do that again this week. He had to get his own hotel room and his gas from Alabama. Again, he did not ask for that, but that's our reasonable service, at least we could do. So if you have something you want to sow into him personally, that's I certainly bless that. I'm not going to do Artist of the Month next month. I want to, since it's a month of meditation, we're going to go right back into meditation mode, which I think will be really good on the heels of this to meditate this, because you've been given a lot of information the last two Sundays, and I want to assimilate that. So you're going to have a good day. I'm going to have an excellent nap. And I love you so much. Thanks for coming. I really appreciate it. This is where I want to be. This is my happy place. Thank you, those of you, this is not your neighborhood. Thank you for continuing, low these 5 years, to come here. It really means the world to me. I appreciate it so much. I speak a blessing over you. Good night's sleep. You wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Peace. Love you.